Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Jared Payton. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. We've been talking to a lot of people, Jared, obviously, about everything that went down, and we've been told that the problem is Tyreek Stevenson went to the U, and guys from the U have no focus, and they don't have any discipline, and they just don't care.
That's the word. What do you think, Jared?
Well, hey, we're focused. Hey, we're focused right now because we're still undefeated. So let's just throw a
Listen,
Molly, I haven't had a lot of time to say that since I've been on the airwaves here in Chicago. So the fact that we're actually playing well right now, Cam Ward. Listen, things lapse of judgment, man.
Yeah.
We're talking about a game. When you walk across those lines and you get into those games, you have to find a way to be aggressive, to dislodge footballs from guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, play with the reckless abandons, but you also got to find a way to be able to keep your composure. And it's one of the toughest things to do. It's easier said than done on the outside looking in all the time, but that's why these guys get paid the big bucks, because you got to find a way to be able to bottle it up, but also go out there and run through people. And that's the hardest thing is watching him throughout that game. He had a tough time, and it led up to the end of the game. And man, thank you, Lord, to everybody having cameras inside of stadiums now with their phones, because we get the craziest angles and the craziest social posts. Because when that video came up,
yeah,
if you guys could have seen me put my head in my hands, I was like, are you kidding me right now? And then the fact of your responsibility on that play was to be back there by Noah Brown, and you end up tipping the ball to him. Like, you can't make the NFL script writers, man, were on one when they wrote that game, because that was the most insane thing in the world. But hey, he learned. Hopefully, he learned his lesson. And go ahead, Dave.
Well, did he? I mean, what happens now, Jared? Because you, I don't know if you have a relationship with him or not. I don't know if you will reach out or not. But if somebody in the organization, what will they do to make sure this doesn't happen again? And what is the appropriate discipline, for lack of a better term, or the way to handle this situation?
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. I've been wrestling with this. I don't know what there is. There needs to be something.
Yeah.
There has to be something, because someone's got to be accountable. Everybody's got to be accountable for their actions. And I think this is where it leads me a little bit, because yesterday was telling, and I love the fact on Sundays where we get a chance to watch these games. And then you get Mondays, whether it's a win or a loss. And especially in this loss, to me, there was a lot of stuff that came out, where these guys now every day, or these football players, they all have their own avenues to be able to talk about the game now. You guys have a bunch of them that come on your airwaves. We have through social media. Listen to Cole Kmet yesterday. Listen to Jalen Johnson yesterday. These guys are speaking their minds. And if the whole goal for Ryan Poles was to be able to have a veteran-led team, right? And so these guys feel like they're invested in all this. And so they're giving their opinions, from Cole talking about guys got to be locked in a little bit more at practice, to Jalen talking about what he would have done, like, on the play before the 13-yard completion, like things that he would have done, like everybody speaking, even Doug Kramer talking about that he made a mistake. He was accountable for his actions. My question is, if you're not going to do anything at all, where have the hits principles gone?
Yeah.
Because that was what Matt Eberflus was built on coming into taking this job here in Chicago. It was hits principles and loafs and all these things that were being accountable for who you were to make this team better. And what I've seen is, Dave, I'm trying to answer your question because I don't really have an answer, but it goes back to the head coach. It has to, because all the things that over the last 3 weeks of winning games, have kind of masked in football. It masked some of the lingering issues that have people and fans and all of us talking heads have talked about since Matt Eberflus is taken over as head coach. And so it's like, especially these games on the road, tight games, and the issues with decisions that are being made or decisions being made or not being made, to me is a problem. And I doubling down on situations and stuff that maybe you were wrong about, when your players are taking accountability for their actions, but the head coach isn't, to me, that's an issue. And that to me is probably the biggest issue moving forward now, because to me, accountability is huge. And even when you make mistakes, you got to be accountable. And to me, I see that being maybe leading to a downfall for Matt Eberflus here in Chicago.
And it happened awful quickly, right? You lose, you win three games, you come back, you lose in the fashion in which you lost. And you're right about that videotape. That videotape is so damning. I was doing the post show and saw that on social media. And I was like, we were having a hard enough time trying to get through the way that game ended. And then you see that and you're just like, you're incredulous. Like, what? This guy isn't even monitoring. The play has begun and he's pointing into the crowd.
Listen, you guys, but the fact is that up in the booth, there's someone that's watching this too. That's getting all these views. If Weeder and Biggs are talking to themselves about like what's going on here, like there's three timeouts left.
Right.
Like, take a timeout.
You gotta call a timeout there.
Take
and
a timeout.
Right.
Like
if the media saw it, everyone saw it.
Everyone saw it.
Everyone saw it. So like, who's talking to who? Are they? What is going on in the headphones?
Biggs should have taken a timeout.
Biggs probably should have. Knowing Biggs, he probably could have got a timeout. But why not reset and then having that conversation to get yourself into in the best position to be able to defend that Hail Mary? Because if everybody else saw it, there was somebody up in the booth that's on that coaching staff that saw it. And if they didn't, then there's issues there as well. So you have three timeouts. And it's like my dad always say, like, it's like money. You can't take it with you. You can't take those timeouts with you. Why not use them in a situation like that to get your team refocused? Maybe have a conversation with Tyrique Stevenson about, yo, we need you right now. What are you doing? Get maybe yelling at him, getting him focused, and then getting back out there and defending that Hail Mary.
Do you think the Bears are still a viable playoff contender?
I looking at the way that this division is, I don't know, Dave. I really don't. I mean, making the playoffs was never my main goal for this season. I didn't go in thinking that. I actually, that's a lie. I did go in saying that. I was like 10 wins, but I was drinking the Kool-Aid. And then after a while before that, I've always said that it was always about the development of this ball club. Ooh. Like I'm trying to not just, I told you, I'm tired of the flash in the pan. I don't want to just watch this team get to the playoffs, get knocked out first round. I don't want that. I'm here for sustained success. I want to build something to where this organization year after year is in that conversation. And so having a rookie quarterback, all the hype behind Caleb, everything coming to this year, I knew there were still a lot of holes that needed to be filled on this roster. And I didn't think that you can't address everything. Poles tried to do what he could do, but you didn't address some of the big issues. And like my tweet, and I've always said this, and I said it on Sunday, like you dominating the line of scrimmage is still an issue. And with the injuries on the offensive line, there's a lot of moving parts there. And a rookie quarterback that's still trying to figure it out. He, to me, watching him grow is what's most important. And I watched him grow on Sunday. Didn't play well for the first three quarters, but when it came down to it at the end, he finished strong. And so that's, to me, telling for a young man that's still trying to figure this out. It was It was like watching him earlier in that game and watching that offense, like watching the first couple of weeks where offensive line is kind of suspect here and there. Play calling is a little bit suspect, and he had happy feet. He wasn't able to kind of set in and make some throws. And after watching the game over again for the third time, even in the first quarter, the opportunity, the ball that sailed over Keenan Allen's head on that wide receiver screen, that could have been a big play that could have changed the dynamics of what they do. Shane Waldron get in his play calling. There was also a run outside of, it was a shotgun run with DeAndre Swift to the right. And it was like nice little pitch. He gets to the outside and we start to Donnell Wright is pulling. And he's coming around. Everybody's blocked right. And there was a guy that came right. He didn't see him, the corner that came through to make the tackle for like a 4 or 5 yard gain, which if Darnold does see that and doesn't pass up color, he might get that guy, leave the safety for DeAndre Swift. And we know what he does when he gets in space. Maybe that's another opportunity to have another huge play to get the juices flowing in this offense. So to me, it is about small little plays that maybe you dissect after you go over it again to see like, man, those are those defining plays that actually could help an offense that's struggling, that finds ways to struggle early on in games to have some confidence and get things rolling a little bit. So trying to find a way to start out fast for this offense is going to be crucial.
I got to tell you, as we're sitting here talking about it and the fact that nobody noticed what was going on before the play was called, it makes me wonder what's going on with the eye in the sky stuff. Because, you know, Flusi had a couple of bad red flag throws earlier in the year. Remember that, where he was trying to get plays turned that were awful, including one right in front of him that I don't know what he saw. And then the other thing is there was a Zach Ertz catch in the game that looked like it wasn't a catch, and he looked like he was looking around, and they rushed to get the play called. Why didn't he throw a red flag there? Is there no one telling him? Is he afraid to throw the red flag? And same thing with that at the end of the game. Is it him or the person in his ear?
Molly, I think it's a combination of all those things, really. I mean, I want to know what's playing inside of those headphones. I don't, is it elevator music or something? Like what is going?
Luke Combs.
Yeah. I just, there's a lot. And I have to say this, and I know always going to be critical. I got great relationship with Flus, man. And so like, I'm never calling for anyone's job. I'll never do that unless it gets really, really bad. Other than that, I just think that this moment of what I'm seeing and what has resurfaced from Sunday is sometimes these moments seem a little bit too, everything seems a little bit too big for him. It just does. There's a lot from managing a defense to managing a team. I think it's a lot for him. And I just think it might be too much. Wow. And I think it could be too much. That's just how it seems to me with all of these questions.
Based on Sunday or the last 2.5 years?
Over the last 2.5 years of seeing what we've seen in some of these losses like this, where multiple things happen and there's so much stuff going on where we're questioning a lot of stuff. And I think that's what's concerning to me. Because when it comes to what he's done to this Bears defense, it's undeniable. He has lit a fire underneath them, and they feel confident in what he's doing. And I give him nothing but credit. But talking to guys that have been head coaches that have to manage everything. You are the CEO. It's a lot. And you guys tell me, has he shown you guys that he's able to do it all? You're probably going to tell me no. It's a lot. And so that's what I'm seeing. And I don't know where listening to a lot of these guys that have been talking over the last day, they're speaking their minds a little bit about what's going on. And so I just want to know that leadership council, those guys inside of that locker room, can hold this thing down. And we're, from the things that I've always heard about the, I don't think there's any issues with the guys in the locker room. I just think that we're starting to see guys question decisions that are being made by the head coach, and they're making it public.
So who does Miami have this weekend?
Oh man, why you want to talk about my Canes right now?
I'm just curious in terms of
who do we have this weekend?
They're undefeated, right?
Yeah, I'm all Bears right now. I don't even.
I'm sorry, Jared. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought you were defending your Canes. You're very proud of them. You want to talk about them?
Speaking of Canes, man, I got to get some food. I'm hungry too. Anyway.
We caught you at a wrong moment.
No, you did. I hope my words that I'm speaking today, people are understanding.
Oh, I think there's a lot of agreement in what you're saying.
I hope so.
And I think we've all noticed the same thing. Yeah,
it's not to dog anybody, man. It's just observation from the outside. And at some point, you know, they got to figure it out. And I just remember things running hollow with Matt Nagy when he was here.
Yeah.
You know, all the phrases and this and that. It is tough to be a head coach in this league, and it's tough to be able to keep people going all the time. And that's his job to do, not just on the defensive side of the ball. It's on the offensive side of the ball too. And if there's a situation where you don't like what you see, like down at the goal line where you had success with Roschon Johnson running in the ball, and you know this is what it is, let's not go back to 1980s with the rivalry between Washington and the Bears and using the mini fridge. Like, if you don't like that, to me, you have the power to be able to veto that and say, no. We're running with Roschon. Give him the ball. This is what we've done. This is where we're at. I don't care how many times you repped it in the bye week. It's still do what you do. You're not to that point, I don't think, where you can just go and off script and do all these crazy things. But I think you got to stick to the script to be able to find a way to win games. The Bears had that one. The fact that it slipped away, very, very damaging for what we were all hoping for. And they got another test with the Cardinals coming up here.
Great stuff, Jarrett. I want you to be aware that next Sunday, November 10th, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will be at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, hosting pregame show 9 to noon. Immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago and New England. That's Sunday, November 10th at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, with maybe a special appearance by you.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. My daughter's playing soccer, though, in St. Louis, so I'm hoping if I'm back, that means they lost. So I'm hoping maybe I'm not back, but Flagship on the Fox is an amazing restaurant in St. Charles. I think everybody should go check it out.
Yeah, come see Olin and Pat, and Mully will be there as a kind of bodyguard. Is that what
Mully,
my role is?
Mully, your food is free, okay? I'm just letting you know right now. Your money is no good at my restaurant. No good at all.
I'll be there in about 15 minutes.
Thanks, Jarrett.
What? No. Take an hour at least.
Bye, guys.
See you, buddy.